WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Thank you for tuning in to this very special Monday Night Talk. It's special because, well, the first person we're going to talk to in just a moment here is going to be joining me as a co-host, where we're getting the band back together as we're going to have a little bit of a conversation with some of the candidates who are running for mayor in Brockton. And many, many years ago, I was fortunate to work with a gentleman named Ron Van Dam. Ron used to have a program called The Big Show on WBET. Then it was WXBR, and then now he is New England Broadcasting as he podcasts. He also does his own thing on the other side. There's a TV component to it, which is fantastic, the Ron Van Dam Show. Ron, it's excellent to have you here.
Nothing could make me not come here today at your invitation.
Well, I thought the interesting thing was that you and I in the past have done many of these where we've sat down conversations with the candidates. Now, I wasn't the only one that you've done it with. You've had different variations, whether it was with the late Bill Carpenter, Bernie Hassan. I think you've had other folks who've also, David Casella has done it as well, I think,
yes.
Right?
Hmm? Yes, but what we did was very, very different, where they were indeed conversations. They weren't question, answer. They were, we really got into deep conversation, which was wonderful.
Which is that we are expecting all the candidates to be who are running. There's seven of them. I'll give you more details in just a few moments after we check out for a few moments for what's happening out on the roadways. But I still remember fondly of our days at WBET, WXBR. And so if I was to ask you to pick a letter from, I'd say, A to F, right? Pick one, because what I did was, just so we can take a walk down memory lane just for a moment, folks can get a little bit of an appetizer as to Ron Van Dam. Pick a letter, if you will.
Between A and F.
A and F.
I will choose E.
Listen to Ron Van Dam. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11. Your mornings will never be the same. Right here.
Oh, no.
What?
Try it with a little bit more, like in French.
I don't know any French.
All right, try it with like a little bit more of a deeper voice.
Listen to Ron Van Dam. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11. Your mornings will never be the same. Right here on 1460 AM WXBR.
That was great. Just a little higher, though.
Just a little trip down memory lane.
Man. Yeah.
I had a few more that I had loaded into the system, but I thought I would, because of time. I'm looking forward to this. What are you looking forward to? Knowing that these seven individuals are seeking to see, what's the one thing that you're going to be looking for this evening?
I'm going to be looking for dedication and solutions, which is very difficult in a city of that size. Actually, it's kind of never been achieved within the past decade. So I'm looking forward to getting their views on that and see where they go with it.
So that's coming up in just a few moments, as we will indeed speak with the candidates who are on the ballot to come, 8 days from now, September 17th, when the city of Brockton holds their preliminary in the 28 precincts across the city, seven wards, of course.
Met our friend Dave at this year's Cigar BBQ. Listen, Dave,
It's not that I don't like the government. You got me all wrong. It's I don't like a tyrannical government that rips its people off under the pretense of taking care of us, telling us the money is going to be used for something and then using it for something else. Obviously not the MBTA. No, no, no. 18's not an adult. 21 is an adult. Oh, by the way, you can't have that flavor and you can't have that style now that you're a big person. But go ahead, go down the bar and drink all the flavored booze you can and get as clobbered as you want. You want to talk about community impact? They finally fixed 44 down at Plymouth Ragua. It only took 20 years. How's that for community impact? Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts, because we pay our taxes. Dave.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return with this very special Monday Night Talk. Mr. Van Damme, are you ready?
I am ready, sir.
Okay, so we have here with us at the moment, we have from, if you're watching this at home, from your right to left, we have Bishop Tony Branch. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
You got it. We have Council President, Brockton City Council President, Mr. Robert Sullivan.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Ron.
And then next to him is Mr. Jimmy Pereira.
Thank you for having me.
And he is, of course, with the Old Colony Planning Council.
Right. Correct. Right?
Transportation planner?
Community specialist. Transportation, yes, planner.
I have that in my notes. And then we have Karina Pompelis.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So we've called you all here.
Called us.
We've called you all here. I want to thank all of you for coming, knowing that we were trying to get this conversation going. We are waiting for Gene Bradley. You're on court, City Council, Brockton City Councilor. He's on his way.
Okay.
So we expect him any moment to come into the room. When he does, he can join the conversation. I did put out the request. I did speak with Stephen Figueredo.
Oh, okay.
My understanding was is that Stephen was actually looking to, who's going to pull his name? But what he's doing right now is he's out there mobilizing and getting people to vote. He feels that's very, very important. And part of the conversation I had with him, and I think I've said it to most of you, is that I didn't want him to take away from the individuals who have been out there knocking on doors, who are 100% invested in this race. And he agreed. But he, again, the offer was there for him to be a part, seeing that he is on the ballot. I did also invite Mr. Mark Lawton. Mr. Lawton, not once but twice, there was two different weekends that we were looking at. I'm sure everybody remembers this.
Yes.
We were looking at the weekend of the 24th, 25th, somewhere in that vicinity. And there was some kind of confusion. And then I got a call that he was unable to come to this particular conversation. Of course, I mean, this is 8 days until the preliminary. And so this is kind of an important conversation, and knowing that in just a day or two, you're going to be having another big political forum. Is it with, you guys know it's
NAACP.
Thank you very much.
At Brockton High School.
I know there's so many different forums that are going on in conversation. Mm-hmm. You're all being pulled in different directions. So it's appreciative that you're coming and being a part of this conversation. But I did get a call from Mr. Lawton's campaign saying that this event that he was going to was planned well in advance, so he was apologetic that he could not make it. So I want to at least put that out there, that it was offered to everybody. The idea, the concept of what we're doing here this evening is something that Ron Van Dam and I did at a previous radio station that was in Brockton, 1460 AM. At one time it was WBET, WXBR. Now it's soon to be launched as WBMS. So I thought I would have Ron join me. Ron, of course, with New England Broadcasting. As we said at the beginning of the show, Ron specializes in stuff like this, talking about the issues. And he gets, sometimes some of the questions he asks, Michael, why is he asking me that question? Well, again, he's a guy who wants to get the pulse. And while the question you're being asked, you're like, what's this got to do with the conversation? There are people out there who are thinking these mm-hmm. questions. Mm-hmm. So we're going to touch, in the time that we're allotted here for this 2 hours, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. It's a conversation. There's not going to be a bell. We're not going to taser you if you go over the 2 minutes.
Oh.
Except for you, Bishop.
Taser is always a difficult conversation with civil rights leaders.
I know. I'm just saying
touché, that. I know, I get it.
More or less, there will be no corporal punishment.
There you go.
But I just want you to be courteous.
Yeah.
To your other opponents here. Because we're here, you're all here for the same reason. You care about the city of Brockton.
Right.
You want to be a voice. You want to be the next chief executive officer of the city. So what I'll do is I'm going to go from left to right and just take between 30 and 90 seconds just to say who you are and why you are in this particular race. So we'll start with you, Karina.
Hi, my name's Karina Mompolis. I'm running for mayor because, well, I want to make a difference in our community, and I feel that in the position that I'm in right now, I'm able to affect a few lives and help a couple people out. But as mayor, I'll be able to help a vast majority, and I'll be able to just do things about what I can't do as just being a resident or a constituent in Brockton. So I'm running for mayor because I'm trying to help everyone. And honestly, and mostly for the education system, because I have three little brothers, and it's kind of personal to me when I see that the education is not working as well as it should. I'm so sorry. I don't want to take away from anyone else. I don't know when my 2 minutes are up or anything. But a little bit about me. I'm 23 years old. I study political science. And I've been living in Brockton for 16 years. I do a RISE program, which is a mentoring program for girls, and we help them just know, like, we build their self-confidence. I also do Best Buddies, where I volunteer with kids with special needs, and I just do activities with them a couple of times a month. And I do youth program where we help people, college students, we help mm-hmm. them get through the college process, and we just provide them with a community.
Okay.
Just to know. Oh, sorry. Okay. Next. Sorry.
She gets on a roll.
She does. Very energetic.
So much, but that's good. That's good that you have energy. You're very mm-hmm. energetic. Jimmy, if you will.
Good evening. My name is Jimmy Pereira, mayoral candidate for the city of Brockton. I ran in 2017, came really close, 10% margin. And if you know the Brock spirit, we don't give up. You make sure to put up a good fight. So doing it again this year because I continue to see the issues that have arisen in the city of Brockton. I work with the Old Colony Planning Council. They are the community transportation planner, working with 17 communities, Brockton included. So from Avon to Plymouth, Easton to Kingston, have been working with these communities, but also the MassDOT, the state agency, and the federal government as well, and bringing dollars to not just Brockton, but to the greater Brockton area. Working again with our community members is very important to me. I speak multiple languages, and going to Westfield State University, where I focused on geography and regional planning, minored in ethnic and gender studies, we were able to look at not just the built environment, but the socioeconomic disparities that a lot of our community members face. And that's why I think we need a spokesperson that is well diverse in their experience. Being an at-risk youth, I also having a strong desire to work with our youth to curb them away from youth violence, mm-hmm. and also looking at the transsex, so not just with our youth, but with the older adults and our senior community as well. And again, thank you for having us here, and I hope I have your vote September 17th.
Council President Robert Sullivan.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Ron. So my name is Robert Sullivan, and as Kevin said, I currently serve as a city council president. I was elected in 2005 as a council at large, serving the entire city of Brockton. So I've served in that capacity. This is my fourth time being the council president. I'm a Brockton guy, and I married a Brockton girl, and we're raising three kids in the city of Brockton. I believe I have the skill sets with an advanced law degree and with an MBA from Boston College. I've served to deal with 14 different budgets. I've worked with four different mayors. I think now is the time Brockton can do better. We need to make sure that the economic development that's in the queue right now will continue. That train has to go down the track. But we need to extend it throughout the city of Brockton. We also need to make sure we're getting our fair share of Chapter 90, Chapter 70 funds. So again, at the end of the day, there's really good people running for office. I applaud each and everybody that puts their name out there. But I think Brockton really needs dedication, leadership, and qualification experience. And I hope on September 17th, the voters in the city of Brockton will recognize that and consider me as one of the top two vote-getters for the mayoral candidates. Thank you.
Okay. Now, also, we have, I believe he's the chairman of the city's diversity commission.
I am the chair of the city's
also
diversity commission. I know that people love to, you know, refer to me in my clergy title, but I'm actually Representative Tony Branch. I'm elected to the Southeastern Regional Vocational School Committee. I serve there as chair of the Personnel Committee, as well as one of the assistant treasurers. But I'm going to be fairly quick. I was asked to run for mayor of the city of Brockton by what we have been calling the invisible people. The invisible people are those that have not been a part of the political class of individuals in the city of Brockton that basically have grabbed power and pensions. With all due respect, Brockton is two cities. It is them and us. And when I say us, I'm not talking about people of color. I'm talking about whites, blacks, Latinxes, our other families that live there. We're talking about unity. We're talking about the rainbow of Brockton. So I'm running in this race trying to bring my private sector experience to every process in the city of Brockton, whether that be at City Hall or whether that be at the Brockton Public Schools. I'm a Six Sigma Lean professional. I intend to look at every process. I intend to make sure that we are managing performance through productivity. I even am going to make sure that the dollars that we're paying individuals are actually the correct wages for the work that they're doing. Listen, I'm looking for your support on September 17th, because at the end of the day, City Hall does belong to you.
Mr. Van Dam, the floor is yours. How would you like to start the conversation?
Oh, I'm not running.
That's right. You have to actually live in the city.
Yes.
Well, unless... Well, we'll get into that.
That's a bad joke.
I used to.
That's a very bad joke.
He did live in the city, though.
Okay.
Yes, for a long time.
Don't you have a business in the city?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Which allows them to have a license to carry in the city.
That's right. I don't know where you're going with that, but fine.
There you go.
It's all good.
All right. Would you like me to question individually or ask a question of all?
However you want to do it.
All right, fine. Well, I'd like to go out for pizza with them. Can we do that?
Right, absolutely.
All right.
You got it.
I think you can see what they want for toppings if they want toppings.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. Let's talk about experience, because we have a situation nationally that kind of gives us a story on what happens when you don't have experience. We don't have time in the city to learn things.
Right.
You should come in with something. So I'm going to ask you all individually and quickly if you can respond. What experience do you bring? How important is experience? And what can you lend? Mm-hmm. We'll start with...
I appreciate that. So
Bishop, please.
That's fine. So I come to the role of mayor, if I'm elected as a private sector leader in senior positions, whether it's healthcare administration, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's just general business services. Currently, I have my own consultant firm that works on organizational development. But I love your question, Ron, because one of the things that I've asked is that the citizens really need to look at this as a job interview. Mm-hmm. The fact remains is that you're going to be the CEO of a multi-million dollar municipal corporation, a budget between $396 to $450 million. So if this was posted, if our director of HR posted the position and you were to apply for it, people would probably look at my resume stronger than some of the others that are running for mayor. I believe that on day one, it's going to be very important. We're talking about looking at, for me, I would like to have Mr. Lopes come back, have a conversation with him, settle the Lopes case. It's at $8 million. We believe that it may grow to a $20 million liability with legal fees. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that the city council works with me in terms of inclusionary ordinances so we can, in fact, start the pathway to affordable housing. Developments should not be going up in Brockton unless they have a below market rent component. So there's things that need to be worked on that require you to have the experience. I want to have town hall meetings with the employees, something that's not done across the country. And again, I also want to apply some of the private sector processes that would make us a little bit more lean and effective.
Mm-hmm. So you believe that on the first day you can start running?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Ron, I think that's really an extremely important question. Experience matters. Experience is extremely important to hit the ground running day one. Again, having served as a legislative city councilor for 14 years in the capacity of president, I've served as acting mayor when the mayors have been outside of the city of Brockton. I've done appropriations, I've done hiring of personnel. I've been an attorney at the State House. I've drafted ordinances that benefit residents in Brockton. At the end of the day, you're electing a mayor, but it's the CEO of a business known as the City of Brockton. $440 million was the budget this year, almost $500 million. So, you know, I know the voters take that job seriously when they go to the polls, and I believe my skill sets, my background, and even my volunteerism. 10 years as a volunteer on the board of Good Samaritan, coaching basketball, baseball, and soccer in the city of Brockton. I mean, I think at the end of the day, if you go to www.electrobertsullivan, you'll see my accomplishments and my background, and I'd appreciate the voters. Please investigate that. Thank you.
Again, a great question, and I believe the experience that sets me apart from the other candidates is that being born and raised in the city of Brockton and experiencing the good, the bad, the ugly, growing up in different communities in the city of Brockton. I grew up on Tremont Street, Newberry Street, Roosevelt Heights, Crescent Court Project, so I've been in the troubled areas. I've been through the school-to-prison pipeline in the Brockton school system, being in the Department of Youth Services, but also going back and working with the at-risk youth, being a motivational speaker, working with Commonwealth Corporation as well, we helped fund a lot of the Bridging the Opportunity Gap programs that helped a lot of the at-risk youth and those individuals that needed help and guidance to be able to find opportunity in workforce readiness and preparedness as well. Going to Westfield State, I changed different communities, going from not just the urban community, but the suburban and rural communities, and then having the experience there as well. And looking also as an environmentalist, working with whether it be the sciences, the watershed situation, not just here in Brockton, but throughout the Commonwealth as well. And these are the experiences that we need, not just someone that's going to work at, you know, looking at executive orders and working on the budget, but also being a person that is going to be in touch with the community, the diverse community that we have, being able to speak multiple languages, and again, being in different experiences. I think I have a stronghold on being able to bring people together, being a community transportation planner as well has really taught me, and also building relationships is very important.
And experience in leadership?
Yes, exactly. When you're looking at the first vice chair president of the Brockton Democratic City Committee. I am an athlete as well, too, so knowing about team building, played football, back-to-back state champs at Putnam Volk Tech, Westfield State College as well, too. So, again, team building is very important. And when you're a CEO, you're working with the board of directors, you're working with the city council, and it's not just, you know, trying to pull them to your ideas, but incentivizing and educating them as well, too, on what you want to propose and get to go forward to the city of Brockton. And working with the executive director, Pat Tremella, and learning and using his expertise as well too, and gaining more experience about relationship building and working across agencies, again with MassDOT, the Executive Office of Education and Empowerment, and again working with these agencies to say that we need to focus on Brockton, the greater Brockton area as well too, because we are abutting many communities and they see us as a powerhouse, so we need to make sure that we are at the forefront.
Okay. Karina, do you have what it takes?
I do have what it takes. Well, I know experience does matter in a lot of cases, but I feel that experience is not all that matters. When you think about a lot of things in life that we go through, I think one of the hardest jobs in this world is being a parent. And most of us don't experience to be parents. It happens and we deal with it. I think it's about a will, determination that you have inside of you, and I have that inside of me. I'm not going to act like I'm the know-it-all in the room, that I know the ins and out of running a city, and I don't think any of us do, if we're being honest. But it's just having this thing inside of you that, in my experience, is growing up in Brockton. It's watching Brockton go on the decline. It's watching the fact that over the years, more and more people have flooded the streets. It's watching the fact that people are begging more and more people are sleeping on the streets. It's witnessing a mother and her child sleeping on the street and nothing's being done about it. So the thing is, when we talk about experience, we should also talk about the fact that sometimes experience is not what it's gonna. Is not what we need in order for Brockton to be fixed. Because a lot of people have had the experience and have been in office, and nothing has been done in the community. So at the end of the day, why not try something new instead of giving the same power back to this people that have had the opportunity to do something about it? So no, I'm not running here and saying that I've held political offices. I'm not sitting here and I'm not gonna say that I've been a councilor at large. I haven't been a mayor. I have not been in any government thing, but I know for a fact that I have the will and determination inside of me. I have everything that I need to do what I have to do in order to make sure that Brockton prospers in the future and for the upcoming generation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay.
Do we want to give, let's give Gene, Bradley Durancourt is here, city councilor, at-large city councilor is here. If you could briefly give us 30 seconds so folks know who you are.
Of course.
And then the Ron will pose the question to you in regards to experience.
Very nice. Just want to thank you for actually taking the time to reach out and also invite me to this show. And I think it's one of the best things that we can do as, you know, journalists and also public servant, and given the fact that people may not have access to all the information. But for those of you who are listening who do not know me, my name is Wedley Durancourt, Brockton City Council at large. It is always an honor to find an opportunity not only to introduce myself, but to let you know who I am, what I stand for, and where I would like to take Brockton in the future. So I want to thank Kevin and, of course, you for taking this evening.
I call him Ron.
Okay, I want to take Ron.
That was good.
So we'll take it from there. In regard to your question, what was it? Sorry.
Yes, we're talking about experience. How important is experience for what you're about to do,
yes,
hopefully? Karina has incredible vision and wants to make things different, and experience not necessarily has worked in the past. So I pose that question to you. How important is experience?
Very nice. I mean, I think that, you know, when it's come down to government, and obviously some of you do know, is that we are talking about the future of Brockton. And as we speak, I am in office. I'm not just a candidate. I am an elected official as we speak, in terms of like making sure that we have checks and balances in the government. So as somebody who's running for mayor, and I think that you gotta be able not only to understand the culture, but being willing to stand on your own. And I think this platform, anybody that knows me, they know well, I am bold, I'm progressive, I'm determined, and when I put my name onto something, I believe in it. The city of Brockton is about to do something amazing, which will define the next 10 years, if not 20 years. So with that being said, I think you need somebody who is willing and determined to bring everyone at this table. Look at this table. This is a very beautiful table, diversity. And that is what you need in Brockton. We have a very diverse city. It has been like that for so many years, but we are talking about a different kind of diversity as we speak. Jimmy mentioned that we gotta be able to speak a couple languages. I speak five languages, and I think I will be able to reach out with a variety of people. But that's not important in regard to how you lead a city. Becoming a mayor, obviously it's a CEO. It's like a mom or a dad to taking care of a child. As we speak, the city of Brockton does need somebody who is willing and determined to take the bold actions. And I think I am the person who can actually not only speak, but also do what I think is best. Nepotism under my administration that will be over. Favoritisms. These are the things that you need somebody who is willing and determined to stand on his own regardless what's going on. So in regard to experience, I mean, obviously I am, you know, 29 years old. I mean, I haven't really been there for 50 years. So if you take myself and somebody else, it's going to be different. But this is what you need. You need somebody who is able and love the city of Brockton truly. This is bigger than politics. We are talking about taking over a city. This is not a joke. That's a job. And that job requires somebody who has a backbone. And Joadley Durancourt will do everything he can possibly do to take Brockton to the next level. That's what I'll do when I become the next mayor of Brockton.
Can I just ask, would there be an opportunity to respond to some of the comments?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Just in the graces, we're already 20 minutes into this conversation. Okay. Feel free to. But again, in the there's five of you here now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So try to. While I know you all have something to say, and you want to try to, you're trying to find a way to say it. Try to get right to the point. Mm-hmm. Don't build a vision for us to walk through.
You've known me long enough. I get right to the point.
Okay, so get right to the point.
So I'm the person here that's clearly has had a lot of HR experience, and so I'm going to push back on saying that experience doesn't matter. It absolutely does. When we look at job applications, resumes, career, vitas, we look at competencies, academics, and training. It is very, very important from day one for you to have the experience. And I also want to caution people with respect to talking about multi-languages. I get that. I think that is very important. But I also think that's very important and one of the things, Gene is a success with respect to ESL. So I also think it's very important that we have English speakers speaking as a routine. Does that make sense? That's
sure.
That's
okay. All right, but you know, I'm going to stay with you for real quick here.
Okay.
I know you have openly said, Tony, that you're the only candidate in the race that's a plan to deal with skyrocketing rents.
Absolutely.
How are you going to do that, and what experience do you have when it comes to affordable housing?
So I am recognized by Mass Housing with three years of exceptional ratings with managing housing in Roxbury, Massachusetts, and that was during my younger years, actually. I'm also trained in the low-income housing tax credit. I'm also certified through the National Housing Management Association as a CFM, which is a certified financial manager and an occupancy specialist. So with that said, my credentials aside, the problem with the city of Brockton is that we haven't fast forward to looking at what affects families. So when you talk about Brockton, I hear a lot of people talking about what's going on Main Street, what's going on in homelessness in our city, but no one talks about homelessness prevention. Mm-hmm. That is the woman, a family that I spoke to last week, the rent has gone up in her three-family house because everybody's realizing that we can maximize the three-bedroom rents based upon fair market rent of Section 8. Mm-hmm. So you'll end up with a $1,900. So she goes from $1,200 to $1,900 simply because the federal government says that's the median income for Brockton. What I'm saying is that we have inclusionary housing. We actually have an ordinance that says, you do new developments in this city, 10 plus units or more, you reduce your rents in some of those units below market rent.
So you're going to look to enforce what's already on the books.
No, we don't have that.
We don't have that on the books. All right, so you're going to look to create legislation.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Exactly. Good to know. Now, I'm asking you each individual questions. If you feel you want to kind of jump on a question sure. I've asked somebody else, please feel free.
I could actually talk about the housing strategy because working at Old Client Planning Council, we actually created the housing strategy plan, and you know, I was a part of that as well, along with our team. And knowing that we are overstocked, but it's not enough for the city of Brockton, and it's not enough even for the region as well too. So I think as mayor, we need a spokesperson that's going to work with the budding communities. Transportation is an issue as well, and we see with the homeless epidemic, we see again with the housing strategy that you know isn't successful in those communities. So we need to mayor that's going to work hand in hand with our neighboring communities and hold these communities accountable and say that you know if we're not able to work hand in hand, then there has to be some type of impact fee, especially with the homeless community, but also looking at how we could work with our neighborhoods for housing as well.
Well, so I'm gonna get tapping into your community and transportation planner background.
Right.
You understand the benefits of studies and what's best for a community when it comes to traffic flow, right?
Correct.
Why would two-way traffic be important for Main Street in the city center?
And it's great that you brought that up because what a lot of our candidates haven't been doing is actually informing our constituents that it's not just two-way Main Street. It's the network of transportation in the city of Brockton. So looking at Montello, looking at Warren, and also looking at the abutting streets that go along with it and looking at the infrastructure and how we could change that as well. I have ideas that can be implemented, like such as shutting down one side of Legion Parkway, creating a pedestrian access, revitalizing further Douglas Avenue as well. We need an entertainment district. We need a financial district. We need more destinations for a lot of the tourism that can come to the city of Brockton, but also destinations for those that we want to attract to the city of Brockton. Right now, it's still a bedtown community where there isn't, after 5 p.m., everything shuts down. With 2A Main Street, we'll also be looking at ADA mobility. We'll look, of course, pedestrian and bicycle access as well. And again, looking at infrastructure and the design of it as well. We need to start leading the city, and not just the city, but the Commonwealth into the 22nd century and beyond.
Councilor, you wanted to weigh in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Kevin, I think you and Ron were actually working at the station in Brockton when I was banging the drum for Chapter 40R, smart growth zoning. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was a lot of pushback. The people didn't comprehend it. And I kept banging the drum saying, listen, this is going to be a catalyst for investment. We're going to have five sectors. We're going to concentrate on the downtown. It's going to be housing. It's going to be both market rate and affordable housing. That's why Trinity Financial came and invested $30 million downtown. Now, we can do better, and we can build upon that, and we have. But I think it's really important to understand that the basis of getting things done is a collaborative approach, right? I was the one banging the drum, but all my colleagues bought in, and subsequently Mayor Belzotti, and also Mayor Carpenter. So I think that's what it's about. It's the legislative body working together, school committee, the city council, the mayor, and also working the state delegation. That's the only way. I mean, Jimmy's had some great ideas. It's the only way we as a city can move forward.
Okay, so I'm going to follow up because I'm going to ask you a question, and that is, you're somebody with 14 years' experience on the city council. What are your plans to maintain inclusive, collaborative, and transparent government? How are you going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, and I know we're all knocking on doors, right? Mm-hmm. People say our voice aren't being heard, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing I can say, and you guys know this, is a truth. In 2005, when I was running for office, people said, Bob, no one knows you. You're not part of the old boys. Don't waste your time. You're going to get smoked. You know what? I didn't listen. It was my dad and I. We knocked on doors, got the message out, and I won. And I've been reelected since that time, topping the 10th ticket the last 10 years. We need to understand that Brockton, the fabric of Brockton, the quilt of Brockton, is diversity. It's a collaborative nature. That's what the culture is, you know? I'm a product of Brockton Public Schools, you know? And I think at the end of the day, we have to work together. We, meaning the elected officials, have to work together. But more importantly, make sure that all residents feel like they have a voice and they have a say in it. It's our home, right? Your home, my home, and our home. And without electing the right leaders, the home's not going to be safe, it's not going to be clean, and it's not going to be productive.
Okay. Karina, the next question I have specific for you. You have stated that the Brockton Public School System is failing its students. What are the problems as you know them, and what needs to be done to change the city's educational system?
Okay, so I think it's failing. I know it's failing students because speaking to multiple parents who have their kids in there right now, they've had complaints everywhere. So we have one mother who stated that her child graduated 4 years and he's mentally disabled. At graduate after 4 years, most kids with special needs do not graduate after 4 years. However, he graduated without knowing his alphabet. And what baffled me is the fact that this kid can have a full conversation with you. He speaks with you. And she also stated that he had no access to the music department. I spoke to another mother who her son has ADHD. He ended up having to stay back in the sixth grade because he wasn't getting in longer test-taking time. And when you have that happening, it's not a money issue. It's a system issue. It's the fact that these little things that we can be fixing with just putting our time and, like, just investing our energy into it.
How are you going to do that, though? But how are you going to do that? Tell me, do you have a plan?
Yeah, I do. I have just putting the right people in place. Having a group working consistently in the education system to analyze how is Lexington prospering? How is Easton prospering? How is Belmont prospering? How can we compare? How can we prosper like they're prospering? Because I feel like right now we don't have someone consistently working and seeing why we're failing. And once we start analyzing why we're failing, why the education, why we have one of the highest dropout rates, then we'll be able to move forward. I'm not saying I know exactly what the solution is. I know that the start to the solution is having people working on it and analyzing the issue.
And it would be fair to you. Was there a question that everybody else answered that you wanted to answer, or are you okay with what I asked you?
I'm okay with what you asked me.
Okay. Same with you, Councillor Durancourt. Was there a question that these other gentlemen have answered besides the one question that I'm posing to everybody?
No, I mean, I can definitely tap into, especially going back to...
Because I have a special question just for you. Yeah, okay. My question for you is that you've stated as mayor that you will be an advocate for small business development. What's your plan and how will you do this?
Very good. I mean, you know... we get to my observation about government so far. I mean, I think you know that I've worked for a few politicians myself, former mayor, state rep, governor, whatever. Here's one thing that I know. People can blah blah a lot, but when it's come down to take actions, they are unwilling to do so. But in terms of like small business, I went to the Top of the Hub recently and I was talking to the guy that actually owned this place, and he said that, do you know I used to live in Brockton? And I said, I did not. He said, well, I live the city solely because I was trying to build a business down there. Unfortunately, they give me so much hard time to do so. And I said, what do you mean? He was like, the license process and everything was kind of like very complex. And he went on to tell me that he moved to Quincy. As we speak, he's living in Quincy. And I said, what it will take for me to bring you back to Brockton? He said, never. So when he said that, I was hurt. I was hurt because he's somebody with a lot of money and can actually do a lot of things for the city. And according to a little experience that he had, he felt somewhat unwelcome to the city that I'm hoping to represent. So I don't want this to happen in Brockton at all. Because you know why? We are a city. We got to be able to develop downtown and making sure that people feel comfortable and welcoming down there. If you go back to 2017 when I was campaigning for council at large, one of the things that I pushed was turning Main Street into two ways. Well, the thing is that, I mean, you can do your study all the time, but the question is, it's not just turning Main Street into two ways, but it's also reduce the traffic and build trust and foundation in regard to for people to bring. In government, there are two things that I've learned in school that's so important. It's choice and education. Education, in that sense, we will not have the time to talk about it. But in terms of like the small business, I will do everything that I could possibly do to reach out to them and making sure that they can come and invest. Because this is what you gotta understand. As a mayor, my job is to bring business downtown, to bring job, to making sure that the place is prosperous and moving on. And that's what I will do. I will reach out to the people with the money, give them a reason to believe that Brockton is the place to be. Here's the thing though, you cannot possibly reach out to somebody without telling them what they're gonna get. The customer service and guide to the person who's gonna buy the stuff must be there. There are two things anyone who's moving to a place, take a look at both. Education and public safety. Whenever you are moving to a place, you said, okay, is the educational system is good? Well, Brockton does have a good educational system, but there is room for improvement. Obviously, everything that you do in life. Public safety. The city of Brockton has a reputation of bad public safety. I gotta thank the Brockton Police Department for everything they have been doing with the little that they have. But in regard to this, the perception is out there. But Kevin, what we're gonna do, we have to build a strong educational system and also public safety, then we take it from there. You can welcome the business people, they will make the investment, take my word for it.
If it may add to that, what you know, if we talk about bold and taking action, what I want to focus on is providing a platform for our small businesses, maybe a small business commission, but also looking at incentivizing our mom and pop shops to look at how they can build up and build out as well. When you look at downtown and the vacancy rate, as well, that's something that we want to improve in and provide opportunities for that. Not everyone can open up a storefront, so having a maker space where they can work, you know, whether they need office space or if they need somewhere to get the ground built up from the bottom up, and also provide foundation for that. I know we have Seed Corp, we have, you know, the Metro South Chamber of Commerce. We want to work hand-in-hand with those companies, those agencies, but we also want to work with the business associations, the Downtown Business Association, Montel and Campello, because inter-agency relationship and intercommunication is very important. And again, providing these incentives for these smaller stores to continue to thrive in the city.
Anybody want to follow it up?
Well, my thought here on small businesses is...
Tony, if you want to grab that microphone.
Thank you. My thought is that, been there and done that, and I'm going to be very clear, we've had these associations that Jimmy's talking about, and we know that there are more than enough hiccups in starting small businesses in the city of Brockton. For me, I want to immediately do a survey of all the businesses in the city of Brockton at the taxpayers' cost, because in order for us to get to economic development correctly, we have to know what the businesses, small businesses, are saying, what they're believing, what they believe the hiccups have been, including getting support from Metro South. For me, there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of planning. I think that we need to streamline it a lot, and I think that, quite frankly, it may be time to eliminate some of the boards. Thank you.
Tony, Robert.
Kevin, I think in terms of small, I am a small business owner. I have a small law practice, and I've had it for many years. I think at the end of the day, you know, 40E, I adopted that, expedited and permitting. It's making sure that the businesses that are in Brockton stay in Brockton. Like when Sorelli Foods left Brockton, that was devastating. And also attracting new businesses. That's why we have TIFs and ties and all these little tools in the toolbox. But I'd like to just get back on the education component, because if you know back in history, the Webby case, McDuffie case, and Hancock case, Brockton has always been cheated.
Equity,
and I'll say that
education.
Again. Yeah, we've always been cheated. And the last city council budget, we just put another $100,000, and a lot of the gateway cities, the so-called poorer communities, are going to work together in collaboration to make sure that the Commonwealth steps up and we get our fair share. When this kid's 38 or 39 kids in a classroom, not good for the boys and girls to learn and not good for the teachers. So we need to work with our state delegation, the Senate, and the three state reps to make sure we're getting our Chapter 90, Chapter 70, and lottery funds. That's what it comes down to.
Can we get a conversation that we're having hold on, don't interrupt me.
I will never interrupt.
Okay.
I love you.
As we're trying to do here, is let folks know, we got just a couple of more minutes in this particular segment. But wait, there's more. We still got another hour, a couple of different more segments that we're going to do. But I want to thank the five of you for being here. Two city councilors who are here vying to be the next mayor.
So what do they do?
As we have Jean Bradley Droncourt and Council President Robert Sullivan, as well as Diversity Commission Chair Tony Branch, Bishop Tony Branch, also on the Southeastern Regional School Committee. If I don't say your titles all the way down
that's
the line, please, for the sake of time, I'm doing it for this. And, of course, Community and Transportation Planner Jimmy Pereira and Karina Mompelis, who is here as our guest. And what we're going to do right now, If it's okay with you, should I take a little bit of a break here? We're going to step aside just for a moment for a top of the hour break. When we come back, more with these five candidates. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Hi, everybody.
South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Tune in Wednesday nights at 8 for WATD's talk show, Family Law for You, as host attorney Christian Homsey guides you through procedures involving family law. It might be all new to you, but you don't have to worry. Call in the Family Law for You Wednesday nights at 8 on 95.9 WATD. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back for the second hour of Monday Night Talk as I'm joined by Ron Van Dam, and we've got the five candidates who are, five of the seven who are on the ballot as we have Tony, Gene, Karina, Jimmy, and Robert. Of course, we got two city councilors with our council president, Robert Sullivan, and at-large councilor, Gene Bradley, on court. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Ron because I think I swallowed up that last segment. But we have an hour left, folks. Shorter answers. I know you have a lot of passion, but there are a lot of issues for this $400 million entity called the City of Brockton. So if you try to be concise with your answers, I caution you. So, Ron, if you will.
Well, let's get into it with crime. Gene, you brought up the public safety issue, but I mean, we're talking raw crime here. I lived in the city for 30 years.
And I wasn't even born. Wow.
I know. Okay, listen, son.
No! Okay. I live it there.
I will talk.
Gotta laugh.
Thank you. That subject comes up all the time, and it gets more intense. For years, Brockton has had a negative city perception, and everybody's been fighting that perception for decades. Mm-hmm. It's damaging. We talk about bringing business into the city. That's your major stumbling block, is the perception. Back in the early 2000s, Mayor Units brought in the state police. It was very effective for quite a period of time. They lived in the city for quite a period of time. As soon as they left, we were back into another situation. Mayor Carpenter sought police city chiefs from other locations to bring them in to get their expertise.
Thank you.
It's a problem, and I'm wondering how you think you may be able to make some headway with what is really the future of the city is to make it comfortable to live here and to prosper.
I could go ahead and take the placemaking is very important, so we definitely need to prioritize public safety. I want to look at the structure as well too. We do need more police officers, but the question is how do you pay for that, and looking at relocation in collaboration with the Mainspring program and relocating that hopefully at the CSX yard, and even the method with the homeless population, we need to change that as well. The shelter in and out approach doesn't work. I want to look at the wraparound service approach, so at the CSX yard, we have the opportunity to have a sustainable housing for the homeless, which means that they'll have secure locations to put their belongings, a peace of mind as well, too, because if you get kicked out and go for a job interview, you're not able to focus on that. Besides that, with the cafeteria area, where you would not just be fed, but learn about nutritional values and how to cook for yourself.
Yeah, but Jimmy, we're talking about hard crime here.
Right. Well,
public safety.
Mental health is part of that as well, too, because you've seen the incident on Main Street and Pleasant Street where a person was shot who had a mental health condition. That my friend actually owns that store. Mm-hmm. So if you want to bring businesses to downtown, you have to deal with the homeless situation. You have to deal with the mental health situation. If you want to talk about hard crime, like the guns that's been being shot around the city, and also the chases as well too, we need to look at the transect. So working with the youth, we used to have the D.A.R.E. program. We need to bring things like that back, but we also need cultural competency with our youth and the teachers to say this is the environment that a lot of these children are growing up with. They're traumatized, generational trauma at the age of 11, even younger than that. I've seen a murder right on Newberry Street happen right in front of me, right beside my grandmother from the third floor apartment. So our children are being traumatized, and when they go into the Department of Youth Services, that's a breeding ground again for more criminal enterprise and more engagement, you know, in the criminal mentality. So we need to make sure that we engage our youth. But if we're looking at the older adults as well too, we need workforce preparedness. We need to get them off of the streets and provide an alternative, because when you're dealing with a kilo of cocaine or a finger of fentanyl, which is about 10 grams of sort, that's a lot of money that they see coming really fast. So how do we get them attracted to opportunities? So that's working with the unions in the apprenticeship program. I've talked to the unions about bringing them to the city of Brockton and seeing how we can collaborate, not just the schools, but with the Department of Youth Services as well, so we can quell that population and get them off of the streets, included our adults in the city. How do we get them off that? And it's workforce training, and it's, again, getting them into the opportunities. We need the marijuana recreational process that hasn't moved forward as well, and the businesses that come along with that, which provide a livable wage, and we need to make sure that we have that in the city of Brockton.
Okay, Councilor Sullivan.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we need to hire more cops. I mean, not just replace retirees, we need to hire new cops, and we can do that by cost containment measures. We could decrease the overtime. Overtime is mandated by collective bargaining, but there's every year in the budget, there's surplus there that we can use to hire new police, hire new fire. At the end of the day, it's about trying to do community policing, having cops walk the beat now downtown, right? I mean, I've done 14 budgets. I give the tools to the police. We just did 5 new cruises this year, Gene and I. ShotSpotter was something that we authorized as well. In terms of what you said with the stadies, right, and the DA's office in Brockton, we need to keep that up. The FBI, we need to make sure the feds are working with us. But really, it's about also, there's a direct correlation between drug epidemics and crime, and we need to work on that tandem, right? I mean, that's what it's about, right? Getting to the young and making sure that they understand that illegal and legal drugs are killing people. That's an epidemic. But the crime itself, listen, it's never going to be solved 100%. We're a city, but we need to minimize it. We need to make sure people feel safe walking around, and they don't right now. There was a shooting on Grafton just right in front of my parents the other day. We need to hire more police and work effectively. That's what it comes down to. That's the truth.
Hi.
This is Branch.
How are you? I hear what everyone is saying. So let me just say, I was like raised in Roxbury, where shootings occurred hourly. I became a community activist because Darlene Tiffany Moore was 10 years old, sitting on a mailbox on Humboldt Avenue and had her head blown off. What we did is we first mobilized the community. Well, actually, let me back up. What we did is we had some tough talk in the churches. Parents need to be responsible for their kids. It was just not that they were committing crimes. Parents need to be responsible for their kids. We developed a community action patrol with Ed Brooks. I was the co-founder. We worked on Drop a Dime so that the community felt comfortable in reporting crime. We worked with the anti-crime unit. They got out of police cruisers. They got out of unmarked cars. They even bought private cars to be able to patrol the streets. We began video surveillance because we believed in monitoring what I called catch and convict. That is, if we have you on camera, if you're driving up Humboldt Avenue, you're shooting up Blue Hill Avenue, Main Street, or wherever you are, the chances of we getting that car traveling are greater, so we would get conviction rates. That's the stuff that's going to solve this. Now, we can say, I heard one of my candidates talk about maximizing SWAT officers 250. That's all and well. But the other thing that we're not doing is there is a triangle. It's called a crime triangle. We need to make sure that those sort of processes are part of the superior officers' platform when they're leading Brockton police. So it's not just more cops, it's how we're going to deploy them. But I want to be absolutely clear. This starts with the community. And at this day and age, with video surveillance, I just got pulled over by the state police. It was easy for me to hit record and to record that cop that was doing his job. Please don't tell me that all the cameras that Comcast has all these cameras in these houses, that people can't share that information with the Brockton Police Department to tell them who is doing the shooting. The community needs to get involved. I'm tough on that because I know that a lot of this also starts at home.
You're very interesting. Excellent. Well, let's face it. I mean, the city of Brockton has a reputation of crimes. And the perception, as you know, is pretty bad, no matter where you go. Sometimes you go outside of the city, and people said, where do you live? You said, Brockton. They said, holy cow, do you really live there? But here's the solution. You can put as many police officers as you want out there. You can come up with all kind of ideology until you do the three things that I'm about to state. This place will never change. The number one issue that we have in the city of Brockton is trust. The resident do not trust law enforcement, not just the Brockton Police Department. Given the Trump administration nowadays, it becomes worse. And as somebody who served on the task force for the DA, we have a table of a lot of folks. And the goal is to see how we can come together as one community to talk about the issues. So with that being said, communication is important. So you cannot talk about solving problems, especially crimes, without talking about communication. So in this regard, and I believe it's common sense to say that, when you are living in a city like City of Brockton, where most people feel some type of uncomfortable to pick up the phone, to call 911, it's become problematic. Massachusetts, I'm assuming there's a saying, if you see something, say something. People need to know when they say something, nobody will go after them.
Correct.
And with that being said, I think it's important for people.
There were a lot of people that weren't reporting because they had to remain anonymous.
So.
Because they were threatened.
So when I think it's a very, that's what I said. This is not a game. This is not a show. Mm-hmm. This is running a city and come up with bold, progressive leadership and being different to do this. Rob, one of the first things that I will do when I become the next mayor of Brockton is trying to find a way to build trust among the resident and law enforcement. The number two thing that I will do is build that communication. Even as you speak from the council, the mayor's office, we do have a communication problem. Mm-hmm. So it is my responsibility as a mayor to build that. Poverty has a lot to do with crimes. Low-paying job and all of that. Homelessness. And I think as we are going into this debate tonight, I will be able to elaborate, but number one, build trust. Number two, communication, and create jobs where people work. Then you take action from there.
Okay. Okay, so I think when we talk about crime, we have to address the what leads up to crime. So we have the homelessness rate, the poverty rate. We have the fact that youth in Brockton are not being offered much. They have nowhere to go. There's nothing to do in Brockton unless you're in school. And it's the truth. If you're a youth, if you want to have some real fun, you have to go to Braintree. You have to go to Randolph. You can go to the Showcase Cinema. And the thing is, when you have youth with nothing to do, they think that joining a gang is an activity. They think that hanging on the street is an activity. They think that hanging in the car and not drinking is an activity. So the thing is, we have to address the fact that these youths have nothing to do in Brockton. We have to address the homelessness situation, because when people are in desperate situations, they do desperate things. And I know, and once we address these things, I do want to put out bringing more cops, because we do need more policing for a city our size. And I know that you have a problem with me saying that, but it's the truth. We're not talking about how it's going to get done. We're talking about this needs to happen. So yes, we do need at least 250 police officers sworn into office in order for this to, for us to lower the crime rate. And we're also talking about trust. We're talking about communication. But the thing is, trust, when you talk about trust, people reporting the crime, the crime has already happened, so that's not going to lower crime. It's just going to increase people reporting crime. So we need more people to come out and say, we saw this happen. But trust communication does not, we're not, that has nothing to do with bringing down the crime rate. The bring down the crime rate has to do with much more than just trust communication. It has to do with much more than parents taking accountability, because at the end of the day, parents are working hard in this city. They're working hard to put, and the fact that Brockton has, where we have a lot of low income families, a lot of these, we have a lot of single mothers working hard to put food on the table. So you can't say these parents need to take accountability for their child. What we need to say is, where can we put their kids when these parents are working? Why can't we build a Brockton Recreational Center where these kids have somewhere to go and they're not on the street? Do not bring... I think that parents have so much to do already.
Yeah, but we only have so much time.
I'm right. Sorry.
So. You're all doing it, and I get you're all passionate. But if we're going to get to tackle all these questions in the 2 hours that we have, just keep that in mind. Finish up your thought.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
How do you get going? You like keep going downhill.
Sorry. So
hit the brakes a few times.
Okay, I will. Sorry. But basically what I'm trying to say is I think we, as a community, crime is our problem, and it's everyone's problem, but you can't directly put it on the parents.
I feel as though you directed your comment to somebody here. Did you direct a comment to somebody?
I didn't direct the comment to Tony Branch and Gene Bradley. So I was basically responding to...
Because you said you, and I'm like, you. All right, so please, briefly,
this is why experience matters. I lived through the, and although I was a Clinton supporter, I lived through the Clinton years when we received all that money for additional police officers, and we know how that devastated Black and Latinx communities. This is why you need to be very mindful as a person of color when you constantly say, hey, give us more cops. Give us more cops to do exactly what? That's the first thing. The second thing is, and more importantly, I caution everyone here, because everyone knows me, we need to say something good about the city of Brockton. If you begin a conversation by saying that the public schools are failing kids, when that is not true, I'm on a regional school committee.
We have
committee.
One of the highest dropout rates. How is that not true?
With all due respect, we also have stars that have gone on to Harvard. Stars that have gone on to Princeton, and it just so happens, not to bring a race, these are kids of color. You need to be very mindful when you say that.
The few does not override the majority,
though. You need to be mindful of that.
The few do not override the majority.
The majority of the kids are failing in Brockton. I'm going to push back on that.
But remember, we don't want to get hung up on this, okay? If we're going to, because I want Gene, the counselor, to have a...
Yes.
Are you all set, Tony?
For now.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Kevin. I mean, I think Bob and I mean, obviously we are in office as we're speaking. It's kind of like very interesting to see, you know, how, you know, certain thing is being debated. Here's the deal, though. I am serving on public safety as we speak, the Committee of Public Safety. I was appointed by the former president of the council. So with that being said, I think, you know, Bob and I can actually talk about, you know, what we know, not what we think. And what I mean by communication and trust, it's important. So I think it's common knowledge. People will know that. It's like, even with a child, if the child feels uncomfortable, they will not tell you anything. So, you know, we truly do not have enough time to debate this, but we'll move on with that.
Because my next question, I'm going to challenge you all to be super brief.
Yeah.
Super brief. Almost like it's like a quick...
not a lightning round, right? Yeah. Right.
Just a quick hit question. Because probably one of the top issues for residents is public safety and how safe they feel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask the question. You're each just going to do not expand upon it. Mm-hmm. Just give me your thoughts, okay? And we'll start with Karina, and that is, and again,
brief.
Just not short, brief is like short. You just. Just answer the question. Yes. And my question would be is, do you have confidence in the current police chief and command staff, or would you make changes if you became mayor? Should I come back to you?
You don't have to. come back to me? Do I have confidence in them?
Do you have confidence in the current police chief and the command staff, or would you make changes?
I would make changes because I will be honest. I'm not in office. I don't have. I've never had direct.
Don't give me dialogue. Just make changes. That's it. Jimmy?
I definitely would make changes, especially when we look at training as well, too. We need to be ready for our mental health issue and the opioid abuse that we have in the Commonwealth, so especially in the city.
Council President?
Yeah, I mean, I would look at all personnel, not just police. I mean, I think you have to educate yourself, but you want to see what changes are going to be beneficial to the Brocktonian as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm actually supporting Councilor Sullivan's comments, but I'm going to also go a step further because I would be looking to work with the City Council in terms of reorganization anyway. So we would, under my administration, we'll be going to a commissioner and superintendent chief model.
Councilor.
There is a lot of room for improvement within the city government.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is, Would you maintain the current police chief and command staff, or would you dare to make changes?
There's room for improvement.
Okay.
Good political.
Very good. All right. You did so well with that one. I'm going to ask you another one, but okay. I'm going to change directions with this one. There is a conversation, as you know, that Brockton did at one point in time have a conversation about having a casino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, this is going to be super brief. Where they have not decided what to do in the southeastern region, there is a conversation about maybe opening it back up. Would you be okay with the city of Brockton getting involved to have a casino? Yes or no? Councilor Durancourt.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Yes.
That's Council. Bishop Tony Branch.
Yes. Senator Brady put in a new one. I haven't seen the plan. We need to evaluate it. We can't say yes or no at this time. We don't know what he submitted.
But I'm saying to you is that
I'll look at all businesses, but I also think you need to look at location as well.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with Council Silva on that. I think the location would be better. I would not support it if it's the same plan, neither with the Gaming Commission. But in my opinion, if it was a land swap at the mall, I think that's something that we should consider, especially being closer to the highway and away from the high school. If that was the case, I would support it. But if not, then no.
Karina?
I say no because we have a lot of youths, and I don't feel like a casino just caters to the majority of our Brockton population. And I want something that caters to the youth, and I don't want them. Because casinos are usually... Oh, sorry. They're usually, like, smoke-free. Like, you can smoke and everything. And just the environment for the youth, it's not good. So I'd say no. Not okay, me. Sorry. Okay.
Ron, I did it again. It's up to you if you want to. You want to ask another question?
Kevin, I kind of like those questions. They're pretty good.
You like that? Did you want to ask me a question?
There you go.
Where were you on?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
All right. Karina was talking about kids, and that is very important. The playgrounds were updated not too long ago, quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But we're finding some paraphernalia in those playgrounds. Yes. And I've spoken to many residents in the area recently. That's so paramount to them. They send their kids out, and they have to make sure they know exactly where they are. They're very nervous about it. Also, that's the temperature of the entire country, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. we're talking about Brockton now. It's a very good point. What do we do in order to make the youth not go in the wrong direction, to give right. them that? That could be an answer to many of the problems that we're talking about today.
Mayor? So, as many people know, as Vice President of Haitian Community Partners for the last 3 years, I've been responsible for their youth program. And what we have done, I think on an average, we've graduated maybe about 85 teens out of that program. But even just to fast forward, prior to Mayor Carpenter passing, he appointed me as a supervisor on the Summer Youth Enrichment Program. And I can tell you that there's work to be done on that program. So what has happened is the young people are hired, and they're going around basically picking up waste. As an HR professional, I know that what we can now do is build a hybrid program. If they're going to pick up waste, get them also in a classroom to learn some very good skills, whether it's around financial literacy, communications, STEM. We need to work on STEM, those sort of skills that are going to prepare them for the workforce of today, not tomorrow. So we can do that. We need to also, one of the things I'm proposing is doubling the summer enrichment program funding so that we'll be able to do that and to build a partnership with private organizations so these folks, for our kids, will actually be in businesses learning those skills. So that work needs to be done. We know empirical data says what? That reduces violence.
Okay. So, Ron, I mean, I am a city council for 14 years, but my biggest job is a father of three kids.
Amen.
12, 9, and 7. And raising them here in the city of Brockton. We didn't leave home. Brockton is home. And, you know, as a city councilor, I've appropriated funds and approved funds to have new playgrounds, right? We just did it the other night, Gene and I, for the Ash Street playground, the Trent. We also have to make sure that the kids stay active, right? We have an obesity problem, right, in countrywide, not just Commonwealth-wide or citywide. So I think it's a collaborative approach again. We have a wonderful Boys and Girls Club, right? The NAACP, we have gold key medal winners from the AXO program. I mean, we have... you know, if Brockton was a stock, I'd be buying it. We have such skillful people, but it starts at the youth, right? But when they're walking around the playgrounds and there's needles there, we have to be safe. I mean, these are our precious babies. We need to make sure, as elected officials and as Brockton and as parents, mm-hmm. that we can make sure that our kids are safe. And we can only do that, again, by working together and making sure that the funds are appropriated. And that's the experience that I have. I've done it.
Mm-hmm. And, if I can may add, and I agree with a lot of what the candidates are saying, but knowing that it is the opportunity, some things that I also talked about, same thing that Branch was saying, is that with the enrichment program, it's not just, you know, giving them financial literacy, but it's also showing them that they can be the CEOs, they can be the executive directors as well. In Springfield, I worked with the Water and Sewer Commission. We were painting fire hydrants, but I got to sit down and talk with the foreman, you know, about his jobs, and that really what intrigued me into planning as well. So we need to look at that. We also need to look at incentivizing employers to look at how we could provide internships for these and also look at college credits as well. Bridging the opportunity gap is something that I worked with the Commonwealth Corporation and also looking at STEAM. So Bishop Branch mentioned STEM, but we also want to include arts in there as well too, because a lot of people, you know, whether it be a vocational skills or whether it be a profession, some like audio engineering, some like videography. So we need to look at all facets that will intrigue our youth, and that's something that we have seen over the time as well too. So,
Karina.
Hey.
And we just get a couple of moments left here before we wrap up this segment.
Okay.
Karina,
okay.
You all.
Is this the last segment?
Oh, no, we got one more.
Okay.
Well, it depends on how much you answer this question.
Okay, I'll go quick. Well, I agree with everything that you guys said. I agree, and I really want to build a Brockton Recreational Center. I'm pushing it because I really want to do it. It's going to have a tutoring department. There's going to be music department where young artists can create. There's going to be athletic department because we have 4,500 students at Brockton High, estimated, at Brockton High. And we have, like, one sports team for each sport. So you have one basketball team, one football team. Not all those who are prone athletically get on the team. So a lot of kids are being left behind. So the No Child Left Behind Act is not being implemented in our school or in our athletic department. So why not at the BRC? It's going to be, well, that's going to be the nickname. Mm-hmm. So Brockton Recreation, BRC.
And what piggy bank are you going to break open for this?
Right.
Well, the thing...
No, you got, no. It's a great idea, but how will you fund this?
So the thing is, I plan on funding it. So I want to obviously ask more from the state, and even though we're already like struggling to get some, I ask more from the state, and just partnering with. We're gonna have the Patriots who partners up with Best Buddy. So the thing is, I'm gonna have a Best Buddy. There's gonna be a special needs department, and they would love to invest in it. Just getting investors, just contacting people to invest in this. Sometimes it's not all about getting the federal government to get us money. It's sometimes about reaching out to the people in our community. It's about reaching out to sports team, Red Sox, these people to just donate some money. And I guarantee you, a lot of people are willing to help. We just have to go out in there and ask, and we're just tapping into one main street, which is let's ask the federal government, let's ask the state government. No, let's ask some people who are willing to help and make differences in our youth's future. Sorry, I'll let you guys.
Okay. No. You, the passion's there. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna make sure that we're fairly distributing the passion to everybody else. Councilor Durant.
Good question. I mean, let's just go back.
We just a couple of minutes before we wrap this up. So go ahead, if you will.
Sounds good. Recently, I sat down with Tim Carpenter. I mean, you know, he's the park superintendent. We talk about the necessity of improving each and every single one of them. And And one of the things that he said is that, you know, it's so complex and it takes so much work for them to actually, you know, fixing those. And I didn't know he only has like four people helping him out. And we got to the needles. I just want to touch on that. So I sat down with him and he sort of like, you know, explained to me what it will take to actually do that. And we got to young people. I mean, obviously, downtown Brockton is dead. This is something that I've been talking about since 2017. What we will do, we will bring business downtown. I call it nightlife, nightclubs, restaurants, and stuff like that. Hopefully, they will be able to come down and hang out because we need foot downtown. We need people to be able to walk back and forth. Here's one thing that I said about turning Main Street into two ways. Once Main Street become two ways, you're going to slow down the speed limit. Now I believe it's 35, maybe put it like 25. So the more people that you have walking down Brockton and the kids can see that there's fun, we got POVA going on as we speak. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not just POVA. We're going to have to encourage business people to come down and invest. And hopefully these young people will find a way and we get to find a place where they belong and then they will take it from there. That's what I'll do when I become the next one.
Again, you're listening to Another Conversation here on the Monday Night Talk with five of the seven mayoral candidates. They're all busting at the seams because they all want to kind of chime in. What we're going to have to do is step aside for just a couple of moments. When we come back, the final segment of Monday Night Talk, and we'll get further into the issues in just a few moments. You're listening to 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
Windshield, she go whack. Tiny and Sons do glass. 888-64-TINY is Tiny and Sons do glass.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Every Monday night at 8, stay tuned to 95.9 WATD for Crossjack Radio.
We're your hosts, Alex Bazanson, Andy Bernstein, and two-time Stanley Cup winner, Kevin Stevens.
Our mission at Crosscheck Radio is to end the stigma of substance abuse through media, outreach, and awareness.
Each week, we deliver relevant content, celebrity and notable guests, and useful information in our discussions about addiction and substance abuse.
Tune in to Crosscheck Radio tonight at 8 here on 95.9 WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Well, we're back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk with five of the candidates who are here. Tony Brantz, Jean Bradley Drancourt, Karina Mumpulis. Sorry if I said that wrong. Jimmy Pereira and Robert Sullivan. They are vying for your vote in just 8 days. That's when the city's preliminary is going to be. Find out where, in fact, you're voting, what ward, what precinct, 28 precincts. If you don't know, head on down to the Elections Commission. Get educated. I think I want to ask in regards to the revitalization of the downtown corridor, talk a little bit about what's happened under the last two administrations, the Balzotti and Carpenter administration. We've seen a flurry of development in downtown Brockton. Besides seeing market-rate housing in a parking garage, I guess I want to get each of your visions and try to be, as again, concise as possible here. What do you feel is the final
missing puzzle piece or two to complete the revitalization. And also, if you want to throw it in there, do you feel that there's too much housing going on in the city center? We'll start with Karina.
You'd like to start with me? Okay. So, plans for revitalizing downtown Brockton.
Yeah.
Just, so I know, first, we have a lot of abandoned buildings, and I know that some people are maybe unwilling to give them up, and I know that some people are willing. Once again, I think it's just about compromising and talking to them, or it might be eminent domain, because if we do use that route when it comes to just taking propriety of those businesses, then we'll be able to develop them, like bring investors into town. I don't know, like just talk. Like, I want to build a movie theater, which would cater to the youths, a major franchise like Applebee's, which I think would actually take the deal, because the closest one is about like 30 minutes away. Well, it's in Quincy. Well, it's not too far, but still, I think they might take the deal.
Okay.
So it's just about just bringing more businesses and just like doing something with those buildings. We have the small business. It takes a long time, almost a year, for them to actually like to go through the process. Let's lessen that process. Let's put people on there who are actually going to be working consistently to help these people get their business started. So right now, starting a business is so difficult that people don't want to go through it. So we end up having a dead man.
I'm going to stop you. The question was, this is what's important here. Mm-hmm. This has been an ongoing process to revitalize it. That there've been deals that have been brokered with mm-hmm. project developers mm-hmm. and folks who are willing to come in, spend millions of dollars to refurbish and renovate buildings. We've already had a conversation about two-way traffic here. We have a new parking garage. We have a new building that the state's going to build as mm-hmm. far as for employment services. And mm-hmm. I think we even have a college collaborative that's going up. But I'm asking you. It's working on it. I'm sorry. I should see Jimmy's head nodding. Yeah. Jimmy's like, no, that's not happening. All right. But so what I'm asking you, and you got to be brief because you've already eaten up a couple of minutes here, is what do you feel a couple of the complimentary things that could be put in place, whether it's restaurants,
movie theaters, Lawn on D, like they have one in Boston.
Okay.
Just little like activities for the whole community, that family activities, you know? We have a bowling alley that smells like smoke most of the time. So it's just like, bringing more of those family-oriented businesses, not casinos, but those things into
downtown Brockton.
Downtown Brockton.
Okay. Councilor Drancourt, same question. What would you feel, what are the missing puzzle pieces, one or two, that will really set off this revitalization of the city center?
Good question. I mean, I think the number one thing that we need people to spend time downtown. And with that being said, we need restaurants where they can actually go and have fun. So we got to be able to not only change the face, but also, you know, the perception. So we need restaurants. We need people to go out there, especially outside. That's one of my goals, like having those kind of outside restaurants where people can listen to music and stuff like that. So we need that. But to go back to something that you said earlier, I mean, as you know, some of those projects has been going on, not just under the Bill Carpenter administration, but also Linda Balzoli administration.
Yeah, I said that.
You said that earlier before that. So mm-hmm. even if you see there's a lot of progress, I mean, this thing has been on the book for a while now. So we got to give these people credit. In regard to DUA, I mean, as you know, Department of Unemployment coming down. I'm not that excited about it because it was supposed to be a college collaboration from Massasoit Community College, Graduate State University, and UMass Boston. And now you got, I mean, under the big administration, that DUA coming down with the goal of having, I believe, 3 ESL classes. I am not excited about that either.
Okay.
So with that being said, we do not really have the time for me to go in depth, but we need restaurants, we need people downtown Brockton, we need people to spend time, and the city need more light. It's kind of like to dark certain places in the Brockton. Mm-hmm. And again, that has to do with a lot. That has to do with public safety as well. You need clarity and stuff like that. So with that being said, we will do everything that we can possibly do to improve that.
Councilor Sullivan, same question, please.
I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel, right? We can look at the city of Quincy, right, and even New Bedford and Fall River, right? I mean, in terms of trying to make downtown Brockton thriving, right, we need to attract businesses there, right, maintain businesses there, bring people there with residential housing, but also have the other amenities that they need, a supermarket, right? But we need to make sure, first of all, that the community is safe. People aren't going to move downtown if they don't feel safe. You know, it's a ghost town after the court gets out at 5 o'clock at night. So we need to try to figure out as a collective group, how do we benefit that and draw that? I mean, we can give TIFs and ties and all that stuff, right? Mm. There's going to be a beer gardens on Frederick Douglass Way. But at the end of the day, Kevin, the only way we can do this is to have the right people in place to be the catalyst to get the ball rolling. I mean, that's what we need to do.
And for the folks at home who don't know,
TIF is tax incremental financing, and the tie is tax incremental exemption.
Right. Jimmy, same question, please.
Great. So, as you know, as an urban planner, this is what I sleep, eat, and work on, and I've been doing it even before college. So, what we've been talking about, what a lot of the candidates are talking about, is placemaking and foot traffic, and how do you generate that? So, of course, it's public safety. It's, of course, slowing down traffic as well, too, and it's, of course, bringing businesses. But how do you do that? So, the Governor Baker has allowed municipalities, if they so desire, to have to set the speed limit at 25 if it is dense in that community, and dense area. So, we will be implementing that, because Brockton is dense, of course. But we would also be looking at how we will implement different practices to bring businesses to the city of Brockton, bring people to the city of Brockton as well. When you look at traffic calming devices, it's not just bicycle lanes. It's also looking at the education piece, in which we have a diverse community, which we need to be implementing that. Also looking at bringing these businesses, diverse businesses, that's going to intrigue members of the community to go and dine at these restaurants. We don't have any Indian eateries. We don't have other cultures like Ethiopian that will provide different tastes for everyone's palates. And again, making sure that we don't just look at downtown, but we look at the other economic sectors. Kmart will be closing shortly, and that's a prime location for light industrial. There's a flooding issue there, so we have to look at how we can accommodate that, maybe a bio swale garden as well to improve that.
How about a supermarket?
A food desert is what we see. We need to
haven't had one there since
Shaw's. But it's not enough.
You get high rise. It's like dirty, and you get a lot of housing down there.
That's a lot of complaints that we've been hearing. And also with the lighting, it's not just the 30-foot lighting, but also pedestrian lighting as well too, to make sure that it's visible on the ground level. So I believe in beauty in the details, and there's a lot of things that we won't be able to get into detail in right now. But it's again making sure that we have someone in place that has the educational and personal experience and the professional experience to make it happen.
Tony.
Hi, thank you. I'll try to be as brief as possible. I was thinking supermarket because of the large housing development that is down there. But I'm going to continue to support what the Carpenter administration is currently doing, and that is to make sure that we, in fact, have mixed use of all the property that's down there. But one of the most important things that I'm not hearing people talk about, so, you know, again, my background is affordable housing, but I'm certified in market housing as well, is that when we go through and do housing studies and housing surveys and we look at property, we do look at how property looks, what they look like. So for me, what I would like to do is have the city council approve an appropriation that we actually start fixing up some of the buildings downtown. Literally start painting those buildings. It looks very depressing, as God bless you, as Councilor Sullivan has said. But when you do like a walkthrough with people that want to potentially come into the city, they see basically a pretty ugly city. I think we need to correct that perception. One of the other things that we're not doing with all the approvals that have happened, we're not doing what we try to do in Boston to make sure that we have guaranteed tenants. So before we approve, at least my development team, before they approved anything, we want to make sure that they actually have commercial tenants that are going to be going into that bottom floor. And one other important aspect, I'm a big guy with the union, so I believe in the Chuck Turner model that we use in Boston. That is that I see a lot of development using public work dollars, but I don't see people that look like me, and I don't see women. So all this development is going up. We need to have it reflect the workforce of our current city demographics. Thank you.
Okay, let's go on the other side of the coin now. Oh, my gosh. We've been talking about problems. Let's talk about uniting people. Let's talk about making people feel good about themselves and where they live. I try. If you were able, through some communication device, whether it be cable or radio, to speak to every man, woman, and child in the city of Brockton all at once, what would you tell them to pass on the leadership of feeling good, having hope,
optimism, etc.
Daily message.
Yeah. Do you feel it's important? And if so, what exactly would you say to them that would lift them up?
There you go. So for me is knowing Brockton, knowing our diversity, knowing that we are in this fight together. Love is very important, and compassion for one another. Being born and raised here and being able to be, you know, on all three sides of the city. Never was able to live on the west side, not yet, you know. But making sure, again, knowing that, you know, we are Brockton. We are diverse, but we are strong, and we need to be together and moving this city forward, and we can do it. We have people that come from, again, very diverse backgrounds, but we're also a lot of intermarriage as well, too, with different cultures. So we need to make sure that we move forward progressively, collectively, and make sure that we're communicating with one another.
May I? I would, and unfortunately, I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm the preacher here, but I would tell everybody that they are born with a purpose. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to tell them. And I would give them a bit of my story, and a lot of people know it, some people don't know it. When I speak to young people across the city and in my younger years across the Commonwealth, when I was homeless as a teen, I always give the story of how I ate out of the trash of McDonald's. And the reason why I ate out of the trash, not only because I was hungry, but I ate out of the trash from specific people. And that was from children, because I believed the children were always clean. But what's more important to this story, the way I received shelter, the way I received nourishment throughout my day, guess what that was through? Through public education, through going Mrs. O'Brien at the Human Attack. So for me, it's that to understand that no matter where you have been, you still have a purpose. And we only need to be united and our three causes moving forward, and things will be fine.
Ron, you know, someone asked me the other day, do you think this election is about race? And I said, yeah, it's about the human race. That's what it's about, right? I mean, I don't care if you're white, black, young, old, gay, straight, right? We live in the city of champions, the city of Brockton. And what I would do if I'm fortunate enough to be mayor, my first act would be to have a community engagement meeting. Sit around the table, share ideas, hear criticisms, you know? That's what it's about to be a public servant, to lead. And again, the skill sets of Jimmy or Gene or Karina or Tony have, I don't have. But if we share it and we put it on the table and you put away ego and you say, hey, we're doing it for the right reasons, that's how success is achieved, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey. Well, to just everyone, just when we talk about unity, I just want to remind everyone that this country was not founded on just, it was founded on the Asians working the coal mine, the African American working the plantations, the Caucasians bringing in their corporal knowledge. And it was about team effort. It was about every race coming together to build what we have today. It was not built on one race. It was built on multiple races. And this country does not belong to anyone. It belongs to all of us. It belongs to just whoever invests, has just the ability to invest in it. And so I just want to specifically say to the young people, it doesn't matter where you are today, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can make a difference in your community. I think in life, we all fall down, we all face giants. I mean, I'm spiritual. When you think about David facing Goliath, when you think about Gideon with 300 men against 10,000 Philistine, it wasn't about experience. It wasn't about whether he was prepared for it. It was about faith. It was about will. It was about determination that they had to accomplish whatever they wanted to accomplish. And I think that I just need everyone to know that whatever you want to accomplish in life, you can and you will. I'm sitting here as a woman, as a super minority, and I'm fighting for all of you guys, because I just know for a fact that this country is not a merit of experience. It's just whoever goes out and takes it. And if you go out and take it, you have it. Thank you.
Good. Here's what I would like to tell people, especially the residents of Brockton. Obviously, my slogan has been, believe in Brockton. The city of Brockton is an amazing place to be. And I want them to see culture as beauty, diversity as beauty. So with that being said, I want them to understand that they are part of an amazing community with excellent people who are willing and determined to put their hands on the pot. But these people are looking for somebody to join them. I would give them a reason not only to believe in themselves, but also know that the city of Brockton is truly a city of champion. We have a lot of champion in the city of Brockton. Despite of the challenges that we are facing, Brockton for me is one of the most amazing place that I've ever been. I want them to know that. And that's why I said it. I want them to believe in Brockton. Because in order for you to appreciate something or to know the value of it, you gotta be able to believe in it. So if you believe in it, then you will be able to know that you are part of an amazing place with excellent people and unlimited potential. That's what I will tell them.
Again, you're listening to a conversation with five of the seven candidates who are running for mayor in the city of Brockton. The eight short days, the preliminaries, will be held in Brockton. We have here in the room right now, we got two city councilors. We have at-large councilor Jean Bradley Droncourt and council president Robert Sullivan. He's also an at-large councilor. We have Bishop Tony Branch, who is chair of the Diversity Commission, community and transportation planner Jimmy Pereira, and the one and only Karina Mompelis, who is here as well. This is another quick question. What? Is
that a bad thing? You're like saying everyone just... Well, my name's Karina. Well, I'm a resident of Brockton. I'm a poli-sci major. I'm someone who cares. I'm a caring individual.
Would you want me to say poli-sci?
Just say...
Wait. What do you want me to say? I mean, everybody has a title. Should I not say their titles?
Yeah, well...
Okay,
you know what? Karina describes me enough. Okay, just Karina. That's perfect. That's my title. Karina.
Okay. Like Madonna. Oh, Beyonce. Okay, that works for me.
Can I just say this?
Well,
please don't be angry with me.
Sure.
I think people need to be mindful and look at the 1619 project right now so they'll be educated on the fact that African Americans actually built this country. And I'm saying that for a reason, because I think there's been a habit, even among our own people, of dismissing our accomplishments. That's all I'm saying.
So I'm going to quickly ask everybody this quick question. Three things, and you can be real brief if you can, you'd like to accomplish in your first 100 days. That's before I turn the microphone over to Ron and ask you real quick. Tony?
Inclusionary housing. I'm sorry, thank you for that, Jim. Inclusionary housing, because that seems to be the greatest pressure on our renters right now. Secondly, I want to settle the largest legal liability that we have, which is the Lopes case. And thirdly, I would like to look at public education, look at the processes over at the Brockton Public School to make sure that we're maximizing our dollars so when we go through the next budgetary review, we don't have as much anxiety as we normally have.
Okay. Gene?
Yes, the number one thing is really...
100 days, first 100 days, what are the first three things?
Day one is strengthen the relationship from the Brockton Police Department and the resident, building trust. The number two, which I think is very important, I want to buy two fire trucks for the Brockton Fire Department. They don't have it. I spoke with the chief about it. They need it. Number three is reaching out to investors and let them know that the city of Brockton is ready for business. Come down. Let's get it done. That's what I will do. Day one.
Council President?
Well, first of all, for the last budget, we approved appropriations on the fire department side to buy two, and also the third would be through a grant. But I think that the three things that I would do is enhance business development throughout the city. Concentrate on downtown, keep that train moving down the track, but expand throughout, north, south, east, west. Increase public safety programs, get more cops, get more fire. And my campaign was proudly endorsed by Local 144, the Brockton Firefighters, as well as PFFM, Professional Firefighters of Massachusetts. But at the end of the day, guys, it's about improving our quality of life. Enforce the codes. Perception's reality.
Now,
well, perception's reality, right? I mean, it's a dirty city. We need to enhance it, and we need to make sure that the codes that are on the books are enforced.
Okay. Rena? First, I'd want to, as in my first 100 days, I will definitely just analyze what's going on in the education system. As I repeat, I do not think that it's excelling. So I do want to find out what's going on with it and find ways to improve it. Second, I do want to contact investors for the Brockton Recreational Center project and see who would be willing to invest in it and just for us to start building it and just putting the right people in place, the development team for the infrastructures of Brockton. And third, I want to get the homeless off the street, whether it be, we talked about it at the meeting, the day programs, and just those things. I just want to get them off the street and into a safer area, somewhere to be, and give them a purpose in life, because I feel like sometimes the reason that we turn to drugs, the reason that we turn to the streets, because we like purpose. So just like helping them out.
Was that your third one? Did you say
yes,
your third
that
one?
Was my third
one. Okay, just want to make sure. Jimmy.
So my top three initiatives in the first 100 days is to look at not just downtown, but the other economic sectors, relocating, working with Mainspring and looking at the CSX yard and improving public safety throughout the area. Second would be working with law enforcement and neighborhood associations and community members and diversifying the tactics like walking beasts, not just in downtown, but the different wards as well in the structure there as well, too. So having police officers in each ward, each precinct, and having intercommunication with the neighborhood associations and the community members. Third is joining the Gateway Cities in the education lawsuit and also working with the Mass Teachers Association for the Fund Our Future program because, of course, education is key. Knowledge is power. So those would be my three initiatives.
Okay. Being a candidate for mayor or any chief executive office is difficult because you're only one person and there's a lot to do. You have to bring on people that you trust will do the job with you. Right now you're campaigning and you're meeting the public and expressing yourself. It's very natural for anybody who wins the position to move away from that connection after that. How can you, and what would you do to keep that connection with the public in the same vein as what you're doing now, sitting at this table?
So for me, I'm not going to change at all. I'm still a clergy person. I'm still will remain on the board of directors of Haitian Community Partners, where I work with our young people, the Cape Verdean Association. I'm not resigning from the NAACP. I will be resigning, of course, from Southeastern. So for me, I'm going to remain, and I will be similar to what Menino was, and even a Ray Flynn. I will be walking the beat of this community because that's who I am already. And that's what kind of frustrates me. You know, you run for mayor, and you see everybody now, but I'm hoping to see the same folks come to our board meetings supporting our community activities because I haven't really seen a lot of them. So I'm being really direct about that. So again, I'm not gonna change.
You know, this is an excellent question. And as you know, as a mayor, I think that we work for the people. And even now, as a council at large, Bob and I can talk about that one. We need to find a way to reach out to everyone, not just those of, not just the folks that we meet during the campaign, even those that we haven't met, we probably will never meet. So the thing is that I will do a newsletter that will go out there pretty much every month, if not more than that, to let them know this is where we are, here's what we are doing, and this is what we can expect. I think that's important. And again, communication. You gotta be able to communicate with your constituent. And as somebody that works for them, I will treat them as people that I wanna talk to every single day. I'll do that.
So we're in the people business, right? We're public servants. We're in the people business. We knock on doors to meet the people to get their ideas. One thing that I'm proud to say is, as a council at large, I initiated quarterly meetings, and my colleagues, and Gene's one of them, and Moses Rodriguez, now John McGarry, and Wynn Fowler. We have open door policy at the junior highs and middle schools. If I'm elected mayor, City Hall is going to be open. That's it. I mean, that's why we serve. Open door policy. Want to meet as much as we can to address the issues, because again, the concerns on the east side might not be the same as the south side. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't, if you don't do that, you shouldn't be serving. At the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Karita?
So I want to create a website where everyone can put their insights. So whatever is on your mind, whatever you're going through in Brockton, you're able to write something, submit it, and someone's going to read it. And I also want to just publicize more things. Like, we talk about parents that come to school committee meetings. Most parents don't even know they're happening. So, and I know that they're saying that, oh, it's aired on Channel 9 or something. No one watches it. That so the newsletter idea is, I think, is a great idea.
Mark.
The one that Gene brought up, the newsletter, I think that is a great idea for people to have a newsletter coming to their. I was like, back in the day when the newspaper people used to like throw newspapers at your house, but it'd be brief, so we wouldn't have to like just read through all those, but you just have like something coming.
Like a newsletter.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Good job. As a public servant, I've been in touch with the community for years now, whether we're looking at surveys or whether we're just providing information, and that's something I'll continue to do. And I know that, you know, it's not just having an open door policy, but it's also having an open city policy. So going to the community members where they are, I walk downtown every day. I know the complaints, not just from the business owners, but from my own co-workers as well. And again, it's continued to be out there into the different community sectors in the city as well. I don't want to just do a newsletter, but I want to do a video, the constant video. I know this mayor did Shoe City Scoop.
We want to continue to do that, provided multilinguals as well too, and follow federal Title VI guidelines, where for the population 1,000 or more, you're providing documents and translative services in languages so they can help assimilate and get acquainted with the regulations here in the city and in the country. So that's what we'll be doing.
Jimmy, if you, do you got a website or something?
I do.
Folks want to find out?
Yes. Give it. You could find me at www.jimmyforbrockton.com or on Facebook, Jimmy Pereira for Mayor, and also Instagram, JP for Brockton, and Twitter, JP for Brockton. Thank you.
I give you my cell phone. I've done that for 14 years, 508-846-1208, and my website is electrobertsullivan.com. Again, Robert Sullivan, number 4 on the ballot, but I'm always first for Brockton.
Karina, do you have a website?
Yes. What do you- okay, so it's karinamonplus.org. You guys can reach out to me on Facebook at @KarinaForMayor. Call me also, because I'm a very open person. Even as mayor, you guys will be able to call me, 781-888-1676. Once again, it's 781-888-1676. And you guys will be able to come and talk to me also if you guys want to set up meetings. I'm good for that also, because I'm a face-to-face person. I'm not really a social media. So you guys just call me, set up meetings, and you know.
Thank you for that. Please reach out to us, Tony Branch, for mayor on Facebook, and you can also reach our website is www.tonybranchforus.org. www.tonybranchforus.org.
Councilor Duran Court.
My cell phone is 774-297-0191, and the website is votejanebradley.com. Just Google my name, janebradley.com, the guy with the longest last name you can ask.
Thank you, Councillor. And Mr. Van Dam, I want to thank you for sitting in on
thank
this.
Thank you both. Thank you very much.
This conversation, and thank you, all of you, for being here. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't easy to say, please come all the way to Marsh Vegas and participate in this, but it's really appreciated, and we wish all of you the best. And we wish you folks who are tuned in, get out and vote. Mm-hmm. 8 days, September 17th. Find out where your polling station is, if you don't already know, and get involved in this election. It is important. Ron, that's all the time we have.
You guys wouldn't consider it like all being mayor at once? probably not.
And I think when I become the next mayor, I'll be more than happy to have all that. When you madly do, and Uncle, when I become the next mayor, everybody will have a seat at the table.
Oh, nice.
I promise that.
So you guys are going to be like co-mayors. I like it. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we are allotted, but hopefully we can do this conversation again with a small group. Of course, it'll probably just be two of you.
Thank you.
That's all the time that we have here. You have been listening to Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.